Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. One of the huge themes of not only Fitness Disrupted, but what I do for a living is focusing on the myriad benefits exercise, eating well, and a positive outlook on life. The way I end every show, what we control, how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. And one of the common recurring themes is that exercise in general has focused on weight loss over and over and over for decades on end. And that is an important element of health. And a line I wrote in preparing for the show is there are way too many unqualified people hyping myths and mixing messages when it comes to the benefits and the truth about exercise and nutrition. And that absolutely applies to weight loss. The podcast I've done on cardio and the people that say, cardio is a waste of time. What a joke. What a stupid sentence. And that tells you right away a multitude of things. That this person wants to get you to click and read this stupidity, that they're probably selling you something, an iconoclastic view of something, and that they don't understand the myriad benefits of exercise that far outweigh and go beyond weight loss. And it is systems theory when it comes to weight loss and exercise and nutrition. They are connected. But it's not just, well, it is. It is simple math, as I've talked about, correcting myself. You burn X number of calories through exercise. And that's the simple math. But the math that's not talked about or understood are things like hunger, ghrelin and leptin, and feeling good about yourself and making good food choices because of some of the benefits that I'm going to talk about today. The cognitive, psychological benefits of exercise. And yes, cardio. Is cardio a waste of time? No. Reading those articles are a waste of time. And they're actually more than a waste of time. They are harmful to so many people. And a huge focus for my career going forward is really hammering these points home. I joke about how now the focus of exercise for me is sanity, not vanity. It's half true. Exercise makes us look better, feel better, and live longer. It matters not what reason you start, you get the other two. If you start with vanity, you're going to feel better, you're going to live longer. If you start with living longer, you're going to feel better, you're going to look better. But when we distill it down to just simple, stupid weight loss. And then people throw out exercise, stop doing it, think it's not beneficial because that number on a scale does not move. That's a huge problem. And truthfully, if I had my druthers, I would say take it completely out of the equation, the weight loss. But it's connected and it's important and it needs to be there. But the focus on it needs to be way down the list. Way down the list. And that's my focus going forward. It's a huge part of this show. Exercise is so much more than just physical. And the title of today's show is Exercise in the Brain 101, and there's going to be 202 and 303 and 404. I have a list of guests who focus and specialize in this area that I'm so looking forward to having you learn from. There's nothing that gets me more excited than people who listen to my show, learn, and then spread the word. It's another focus of mine is educating you so that you can educate others. Because enough is enough. Enough is enough. Let's take a break so I can regroup. And then we're going to talk about the benefits of exercise and the brain. Specifically, talk about memory loss and improved cognitive function. But just the first of many episodes, and I've touched on this, I've talked about it, you know, in many other shows as well. But now we're going to really start to get specific. But this is the first to get us started, kicking it off, so you can feel good about every single workout you do and stop saying, well, I only walked for a mile, or I just did 5 minutes of, you know, jump rope, or I, you know, only or just did something. So what? So the scale's not going to move? You just did so many good things for your body, so many good things for your mind. We'll be right back. I've often said, and I truly believe, if they ever came up with a weight loss pill that actually worked with no ridiculously bad side effects, it would be one of the worst things that ever happened to humanity. Why? Because we wouldn't get all the cognitive benefits from movement. People would sit around and they would eat and they would not do internally, both physically and psychologically, what needs to be done. What needs to be done to be healthy, to enjoy life to its fullest. And that comes through movement. That comes through purposeful movement and doing things that you enjoy. I will say that over and over and over again. You don't have to do exercise and things you don't enjoy. There are so many options. But far too many articles are telling you, here's the one way, here's the only way. And far too many fitness professionals, in air quotes, who put down other people's forms of exercise. I just read social media posts from a really smart fitness woman who's been in this industry forever. I was talking about planking and how she loves the plank and all the benefits of the plank. And hey, I've done a show on that, so I'm biased and I do it and I understand. But there was another person who just basically said, yeah, you can do that if you want, but here's what I do. And basically saying, this is better. Explosive movements and utilizing weight. Okay, good. Good for you. I could say the risk reward of what you're doing based on what you described is way higher, but it's not a choice as far as do this and not that. Do what works for you. Lift heavy things, raise your heart rate, eat healthy foods, and you will be successful. So when it comes to only putting value on cardiovascular exercise, if you lose weight, it is exponentially more difficult to lose weight through exercise than it is through changing your eating habits. Keeping 500 calories out of your mouth, that's easier in the grand scheme of things than burning it, because that takes about an hour, regardless of what your device or piece of cardio equipment tells you. It's not to say they're not connected. Of course they are. But let's get to the cognitive. So what? So you can feel really good about every single workout, every single minute you do, regardless of what that scale does. And when you take the focus off the scale and you find the exercise and the movement you enjoy and you find those foods, you'll be shocked at the results. As I was finishing up my career as a personal trainer one-on-one, that is what I heard over and over from clients because we took the focus off weight loss. Yes, of course, the vast majority of people who came to me, not all, but more than 50%, wanted to lose weight. But that wasn't the focus. That wasn't the focus for us. It happened, but as a result of all these other things and getting all of these other benefits as well. All right. Can exercise prevent memory loss, and can exercise improve cognitive function? One great study article I looked at had the greatest answer. And it was basically the equivalent of it depends. And by the way, I love seeing on social media people now replying to me, it depends, because so much depends. And so the answer is maybe, possibly. And the stronger answer is research is really strong in saying, yes, it does. Yes, it can. We're still figuring out how and why. I'm going to talk about those concepts shortly. But yeah, exercise movement is really important to our mental health on so many levels. Exercise has so many benefits for both physical and mental well-being. Okay, let's just go over for the sake of repetition and hammering it home. Exercise benefits, right? We have reducing your risk of cardiovascular disease, number one cause of death. Not weight loss, but that's connected, but reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease, reducing the risk of diabetes, huge problems, strengthening your bones, strengthening your muscles, adding to your quality of life through both of those, and reducing stress and anxiety, topics I have talked about before and will continue to, because they are so important. When you're stressed, when you're anxious, what do you do? What do so many people do? You eat. Here's the connections. So when people say cardio is a waste of time, really? So wait, if I do something I really enjoy exercise-wise, and whatever that is for you, that's whatever it is for you, Zumba, rowing, going for a walk, playing tennis, riding your bike indoors, then you're going to be less stressed, less anxious, more likely to make better food choices, not sit around. It still boggles my mind that this isn't talked about enough. Yet it doesn't. Yet it doesn't, because people are selling garbage products and programs. But it also, there is also research, much research into the benefits of physical activity and the brain. And I'm going to talk about one specific study at the end of the show, which is soon, shortening these up for you. And we'll talk much more about other studies as well going forward. But studies show what? That people who are physically active are less likely to experience a decline in their mental function. And that includes having a lowered risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Can you see that on a scale? Is cardio a waste of time when you are helping to decrease your decline in mental function? And I'd argue, I'll let it go. If you can't say something nice. And lowering your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Now, one of my smartest, most successful clients out of thousands over the years, he had a family history of Alzheimer's disease, including his father. And he researched things to death. Super successful in the financial field, super successful athlete, super successful, period. And he did his homework, he did his research. And he read all the research into how powerful exercise can be potentially to helping decrease decline in mental function and decrease Alzheimer's. And that was one of the many reasons he exercised. And he played racket sports. So he found what he loved. He wasn't doing something he didn't like, but he was consistent for so many reasons. Physical activity is also one of the, this is so important, people, one of the known modifiable risk factors for dementia. What does modifiable risk factor mean? It means we have control. You know, it's so much easier for people to say you don't have control. It's about your genetics. Give up. Don't try. And then sell you products that play into that. That's not how I approach life. That's not what science says. It's what people who don't know what they're talking about say. Let me read it again because it is so important. Physical activity is one of the known modifiable risk factors for dementia. I'm 52. I also took a heck of a lot of concussions in sports. Topic for another day. So I'm doing everything possible based on the science to focus on that as well. On the cognitive benefits, protective, controllable, modifiable benefits of exercise. And one more quick point, regular exercise does what? It helps to combat other Alzheimer's disease risk factors, tough to say, such as depression and obesity. That's not talked about enough. Alzheimer's disease risk factors, okay? Depression, did you know, can lead potentially to cognitive issues, makes sense, common sense, and then obesity? Wait a minute. This is another reason we need to be a healthy weight. This is not talked about. That when we carry around excess weight, so many negative health outcomes, joint issues, increased risk for so many diseases, including cancers, and now cognitive. So this should not be depressing to you. This should be empowering. You have the control. You don't have to do that much. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to do things you dislike immensely. But you have to believe all these things. Okay, so let's go to what exercising may. We're going to use the term may, because it depends. But exercising, according to much of the research, much more needs to be done, may do what? It may help with your thinking, your reasoning, and your learning skills for those people who are exercising and healthy to begin with. Thinking, reasoning, learning skills. Cognitive benefits. What else? It may improve your memory, your judgment, your reasoning, your thinking skills, all of those cognitive function benefits. For people with mild Alzheimer's disease or mild cognitive impairment. So it may help if you already have those issues. So not only another, oh gosh, this is prehab versus rehab cognitively, people. And I've never thought about it that way specifically till right now. I've talked about it so often when it comes to exercise, your joints, your shoulders, your knees, your back, prehab versus rehab. But that goes for cognitive as well. And that's the way the world works. This is common sense. So even if you are having issues, there are benefits. The same benefits. And it may delay the start of Alzheimer's for people at risk, which again is what my client had read. Read all of this. May help prevent it, may help delay it. And if you have it, it may help your symptoms as well. Delay the start of developing it, slow the progress of it if you have it. And finally, and this goes to the one study I'm going to talk about in today's show, exercising may also increase the size of your brain that's associated with memory formation, your hippocampus. How does it do that? How does it do all this? Let me give you a couple quick, again, initial concepts to think about, what they're looking at, what the research shows. I'm going to do that right after this final break. We'll be right back. Talking about exercise and the brain 101. And I talked about earlier how I truly believe, and there's like some kind of science fiction book and movie in this, like if they created this weight loss pill, how just detrimental it would be to the world. It just would. You go, that's so extreme. I 100% believe that for so many reasons. Let's start here. How does exercise help your brain? Well, one of the reasons, one of the places to start is by keeping the blood flowing. Blood flow to the brain, research is showing, is important, is beneficial. So if you're sitting around taking a pill and you're skinny, but there's no blood flow to that brain, increased blood flow to the brain, you're not getting that benefit. You're not getting that benefit. Something that is free for you to do. And let me backtrack really quickly. Just did a couple shows on different pills and supplements that I have a problem with. There are those for the brain as well. Really popular one that comes to mind, pun intended. Does it work? Maybe. But is it as likely to work? Is the research behind the one I'm thinking of in particular, I'm not going to name it, these supplements? Let's just put it this way. The research into exercise, way stronger. And here's the other just common sense thing, people. You take that pill, it may or may not work to help with your memory. And I'm going to say, more likely than not, doesn't. More likely than not, doesn't. If you exercise, and let's just assume for argument's sake that none of what I'm saying is true. that the research is totally flawed into the benefits cognitively of exercising the brain. We get all the other benefits that I talked about. Cardiovascular. So in other words, why the heck wouldn't you do it? Dozens and dozens of benefits. You take that pill, you spend the money. May or may not work, but that's it. If it doesn't work for the reason they told you, that's it. You're out of it. Does nothing. Exercise, myriad benefits, regardless. You talk about insurance. You talk about reason to move. What else? So blood flow to the brain, that's part of the research benefits. Second, increasing chemicals that protect your brain. Not going to go into the specifics in this show, the basics, but we're talking about blood flow and we're talking about specific chemicals that are showing benefits in protecting the brain. And here's a really amazing one, and it's all connected. Pun intended for this one. Exercise in the brain, it tends to counter some of the natural reduction in what? The brain connections that occur as we get older. And I have one specific, actually several guests that will speak to this coming up. And one of the great terms they will use is neuroplasticity. It's also called neural it's tough to say. So you got neuroplasticity and neural plasticity. So it's either one word basically or two. You go, Tom, it sounds exactly the same. Well, a little different. Also, you can, you know, refer to as brain plasticity. And then is basically that the brain can change in a positive way. That's where I'm going to leave it now. You know, neural networks in your brain to change, growth, reorganization, things like that. And you're talking about neuron pathways making new connections. The brain is an amazing thing. It's all you need to know. And that exercise can help with the degenerative aging issues in so many ways. And this is an incredibly exciting field of study right now. And this goes into, and we'll talk much more about this going forward, you know, there's research that suggests things like music, especially when you combine music with what? Dance, gaming, exercise helps promote this neuroplasticity. It can improve your movement, your coordination, and yes, as I'm going to talk about, one study coming up may help strengthen your memory abilities. And just a complete anecdotal thing, I have noticed how many singers, musicians, the ones who, well, I was going to say, who didn't go hard into the drugs, more the classical, the singer types, they live to be 80s, 90s, you know, and beyond. And even the ones who work, you know, at really doing negative things in their heyday, many of those people live a long time. My point is, I believe there is incredible connection to music and longevity. And it goes to the brain. And all those things connected. Okay? But yes, there's so much more research we need to do here. You know, how much, what kinds, but the bottom line is raise your heart rate. You know, this is where I would argue research gets a little goofy, but that's what research is supposed to do. In other words, getting so specific, you know, is it Zumba or is it the racket sports that I talked about? You know, we did that whole show on what sport right now is research pointing to with longevity? And there's so many factors involved with that. But don't overthink it. Pun intended. Get blood flow to your brain. Get blood flow to your brain. Okay? All right. Final point here. Let's do this study, and there will be many more to come, but I wanted to give you one. Okay. Title, Cardiorespiratory Fitness and Gray Matter Volume in the Temporal, Frontal, and Cerebellar Regions in the General Population. How's that for a title? And this was in Mayo Clinic Proceedings. This is January 1st of 2020, really recent. I'm just going to give you the basics, just the overview real quickly. The objective was to analyze the association between cardiorespiratory fitness, CRF rather, and global and local brain volumes. It was a study of over 2,000 adults aged 21 to 84 from two independent population-based cohorts. and they were looking at these people through 2008, essentially, in 2012. And they measured cardiorespiratory fitness using peak oxygen uptake, just talked about this, VO2 max, oxygen uptake at the anaerobic threshold, that's your AT, and maximal power output from cardiopulmonary exercise testing on a Bicycle ergometer. What did the results show? They revealed associations of cardiorespiratory fitness with gray matter volume and total brain volume. Okay, just looking through here. Whole brain analysis revealed significant positive relations between cardiorespiratory fitness and local gray matter volumes. Your VO2 peak, their VO2 peak, was strongly associated with gray matter volume. And they concluded what? That cardiorespiratory fitness was positively associated with gray matter volume, total brain volume, and specific gray matter volume, and white matter clusters in brain areas not primarily involved in movement processing. These results from a representative population sample suggest that cardiorespiratory fitness might, there's the term, might contribute to improved brain health and might therefore decelerate pathology-specific gray matter decrease. Now, correlation, causation, you know, people are born with high VO2 maxes, all connected, all great, debatable talking points that need to be looked at. But as I said earlier, what if? We got to talk about the what if. What if they're right? And when you have multiple studies over and over and dozens pointing to the benefits cognitively of exercise and common sense and all of those things. Yeah. It's a good thing. And that is the takeaway from today's show. Stop focusing on the physical. I get it. I want to look good in the mirror too. I want that scale to be lower too. It gets harder and harder as I get older to see those abs. But I don't focus on that anymore, or the way I used to. I wanted to be cognitively as good as I can be as well. I want to be as happy through exercise and the positive benefits of that on stress and anxiety as I can be. And all of those things are positively affected by exercise. So when you read that chucklehead line, cardio is a waste of time. For weight loss, even then, it's not a waste of time, people. It's connected. Enough. Science. We'll do much more on this. Many amazing guests coming up to talk about the cognitive benefits of exercise. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you have not rated the show, shame on you. Rate the show, comment if you can. Super helpful. Tell your friends. And questions, comments, Tom H. Fit is Instagram and Twitter, Tom H. Fit. You can email me, go to Fitness Disrupt It. Say it again. Need more coffee. Fitness Disrupt. And by the way, coffee, caffeine, positive cognitive benefits, as I've said. Alzheimer's, sports performance, all of that as well. Science. Fitnessdisrupted.com. You can email me through the site. My newest website is Tom Holland Fitness. That is my virtual gym. All my content from decades in the industry going up there. Join, be a member. It's the gym I want you to show up to every day, because my goal is simple: to bring you the best information so that you can have the best life. That's what I'm selling people. So fortunate that I have this podcast where I can do that. No one's looking over my shoulder. No one's telling me what to talk about. Thank God. That's what how I structured my entire life, because the number one thing I bring to you is credibility. You got to believe. You got to believe you can change. You got to believe that you have control, and you do. And I'm going to keep telling you over and over how and why. Thank you for listening. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.